That's Ron Perlman.
Oh, Mike finds himself so funny.
No, I find Super Troopers 2 so funny. Because it sack is. Of shit.
As should everybody.
Hey, man.
Oh, shit. Is it Lego Ghostbusters? Oh, go back. Come on.
Go back. To
work. Oh, save $60. I was like, is the firehouse only $60 somewhere?
No.
So save $60, so that only makes it $6,000.
It's not the Millennium Falcon.
At Walmart, so you can get it for $290 right now.
That's after saving six.
That's after saving. That's why I saw $60, and I was like, wait, go back. That
hurts in my soul.
Wait, go back. I want this now. My wallet. Cody, give me your wallet.
My wallet's bruised.
Why would you say that?
That's because you're the rich one.
Because so you're the rich one.
You're the rich one.
Nope.
But nope, $290, so no.
That's too much.
That's way too much.
I think like $40 is too much for some Legos. In that I
cases,
like.
Yes, yes. In some
that
cases.
I like. I'm like, oh, I want to build that.
And you're like, $40.
I want the $49. Fuck.
But it's like $199. I was like, plus I don't know where to put it.
I would think in that case.
We could solve that for you.
Not putting it at Joe's house.
No. Not that.
No. Putting the skull at Mike's house.
Yeah.
The Terminator skull.
No.
It would it would be exactly enough room for the Voltron right there.
Yeah, but then that would be at Mike's house and not my house.
He can, like, send you videos of it whenever you want to look at it.
I'm like, look, it's doing so good. It's adjusting so well in its new environment.
I don't trust it.
It's adapting quite nice.
Speaking of adapting quite nice.
Comes naturally.
We are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody.
It's like we're on the same wavelength, man.
He's picked up on my
idiosyncrasies.
Yep. You're an idiosyncrasy.
Oh. Sick burn, worst Taj.
That's an inside joke that no one's going to get. Because Taj won't even get it because he doesn't listen to the fucking show.
Yeah. Taj is a real shit buddy of the show.
Shit buddy.
Shit buddy of the show.
Shit buddy. He said shit buddy. Speaking of shit buddies.
We already did the intro.
Yeah.
You're bad at segues.
Segues?
Segues.
Oh, that two-wheeled scooter thing that you can
The Paul Blart
thing. Yeah, Paul Blart thing, yeah.
So, guys.
Yeah.
What are we talking about this week?
Overlord.
Oh, yeah. We watched that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Says the guy who couldn't stop thinking about it for the past week.
I thought we had talked about it. It felt so long now. I figured we would have.
So long? A week?
Yeah, no, but we usually.
It actually hasn't even really been a week.
Technically, no.
Yeah.
But it just feels like we should have talked about that already.
We should have, yes.
But we didn't.
But because it just came out.
Yeah, we have not.
And we had to wait for like almost a week for us to then talk about it. Today is that
Explain
day.
Explain to the fine folks what Overlord is.
It's a movie.
Why is it? Why did it pop up on our radar?
Because J.J. Abrams produced it.
Who's J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams is the guy who created Lost.
Ugh, fuck off.
And?
I mean, what else do you need?
I mean, anything that he did that was good.
Well, to be fair, Lost was good.
For what, half a season?
No.
Yeah, that's right. I'm calling you out, Lost. Bitch.
For like maybe 2 to 3 seasons.
Went on for eight seasons.
First off, how are you gonna call it out?
I've never seen it.
I know. But it's like, of all things, you're gonna call it out?
Look. Fuck that show. I'll die on this hill. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if I have no right to talk about it.
You're literally on someone's lawn that has a dirt underneath.
Song, yeah, I know what you're getting at, but he directed that Star Wars movie. That shit was dope.
And soon to be another Star Wars movie.
Oh, is he doing the next one too?
He's doing 9 as well, yeah.
Fuck yeah. He also created the Cloverfield world, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He also made Mission Impossible cool again.
Yep. And he's still making him cool because he produces those as well.
Yeah. What's the last thing he directed?
I think Star Wars The Force Awakens was the last director.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, he's got He does this cool thing where he built up so much cred that he's just like, I'm just going to put my name on stuff and let new people direct new things. And I thought that was a cool way.
Yeah.
Cool way of handling shit.
Well, because he can pick good people.
Yeah. Which brings us to Overlord, because that's what he did.
Wait, why is he announced as producer on a Half-Life movie?
Because he's Bad Robot's supposed to be producing the Half-Life movie?
I did not know that. I just got enormously erect.
That's why the tables are lean one way. Two,
three.
So our shit's tipping off one end.
On IMDb, he's listed as a producer. I don't even want to count this. Jesus Christ.
4,700 things.
Because you're right. When was the last time he actually directed something? Producer, executive producer,
His last directorial debut, or last directorial movie was...
Producer,
Force Awakens.
What was before that?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
That was a good one, too. What was before that?
Super 8.
Dang, killing it. What was before that?
Star Trek.
Dang, killing it. What was before that?
Mission Impossible 3.
Really?
Yep.
Jesus Christ, he doesn't direct that much anymore.
That was his first directorial movie.
Like, feature length, right?
Yeah.
Because he did, like, shows, right?
Well, he created Felicity.
He was
so weird.
Creative director on a video game this year.
Yeah.
Spy Jinx. Never heard of it.
Yeah, he did. He co-created Felicity. He was the creator of Alias, co-creator of Lost. He then co-created Fringe. Undercovers.
Go ahead and say it. What's the next one? Created Almost Human.
Co-created
Almost Human.
Yep.
And Fox really fucked that one up.
Yeah, they did.
Because Fox, you a bitch.
Little known fact, by the way, he also composed the theme song for Almost Human.
I remember that.
And he executive produced that as well. That was his
John Carpenter moment.
Yep. But
Big Trouble.
The show Person of Interest with Jonathan Nolan.
Was that the one with Jackie Earle Haley?
No. That's the TV show with Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And then, let's see, he executive produced a bunch of he executive produces Westworld. Executive produced 11/22/63, Castle Rock.
So what we're saying, enormously talented, mega name.
Great eye for talent,
in the industry, as us insiders like to refer to it as. So because he put his name on this, and decided to let somebody make this weird World War II / some other type of genre movie. It was really cool because when I only saw one trailer for it, and I only saw it once. I can't remember what movie I was in, but it was in front of a movie. And as I'm watching the trailer, it's this tense, weird World War II, but something else is going on. We don't know exactly what else is going on during the trailer. And then J.J. Abrams' name pops up, says produced by. And I was like, oh, shit, is this the new Cloverfield movie? Is this one of the new Cloverfield ones?
Well, it was originally rumored to be that it was.
Right.
Yeah.
But it never actually was. It was just
because he had it in his pipeline. So like, oh, this must be the next
one. Yeah. But you're assuming it is, but then like at the end of the trailer you get this weird zombie vibe. You're like, what the fuck? That was weird, but I want to see that. And I didn't look it up or anything. I was just like, I want to go in fresh. Yeah, you
knew the plot right away.
Yeah. So I was excited to see this movie because the one trailer, I liked it, and I knew it was a small enough movie to where I wasn't going to be bombarded with stuff on it. So I was like, I think I could stay away from this and go in as fresh as possible, not really knowing anything. So all I knew, World War II, maybe a zombie, maybe a you know what I mean? Like I didn't,
monster movie.
Yeah, and I didn't know what else was going on. So when we get into the movie... Again, I didn't even see that same trailer again. That's the one time I saw that one trailer. So I was really excited about it. And the best way I could describe it is I got a instant vibe of From Dusk Till Dawn. Mm-hmm. In terms of the first half of the movie is one thing, and the last part is another thing. And they're both separately amazing. but for some reason you put them together, it works even better.
Yeah.
And so, like, for people who don't know, and if you don't know, From Dusk Till Dawn is
George Clooney's finest work.
Oh, probably, dude.
Perfect Storm?
Fuck off with that.
Actually, it's very close.
Dang. No, fuck very you. Close. You think Perfect Storm is on the same level from Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah.
No, you guys are both wrong. Have you seen Perfect
Storm?
Yeah.
You own it?
I don't own it.
See?
Because I didn't think it was that good.
I own it.
Dang, that means a lot.
Is it Mark? It might be Marky Mark's best work, but it's not Clooney's. You're gonna piss. You're pissing everybody off.
There'll be a
circle of hate
his off
on this table. Circle of hate.
Joe's cut off from using the mic.
It's podcast circle of hate.
When we sit in a circle
and we hate each other.
Wait, what?
It's a fucking circle of hate.
I guess we hate each other now.
It's all over for us. But yeah, if you don't know, From Dusk Till Dawn
is a movie.
Is old school Tarantino, and it was George Clooney's. I want to say first like film
you
role.
You may want to rethink what you said though.
What
film role?
No, the Tarantino thing.
Old school Tarantino.
Tarantino
well,
was in it.
Yeah, in terms. I'm saying, Robert Rodriguez directed, sorry. But it was in that vein of like early Tarantino, early Robert Rodriguez, before they can basically...
Before Spy Kids, you know what I mean?
Well, oddly enough, that gave him pretty much the fucking
Antonio
ticket to...
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
Best performance.
Spy Kids?
Spy Kids.
No, it's Zorro. Spy Kids.
Sorry, it's what?
Zorro.
Mask of Zorro.
Mask of Zorro.
There you go.
One or two.
Come on. That second was garbage.
First one was low-key pretty good,
yeah,
though.
It was fun, man.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But in that movie, you have the Gecko brothers, right?
Yeah, Gecko brothers.
So they escape from jail or some shit. Escape from jail, and they're trying to get to Mexico. That's the whole premise of this movie. So if you go into this movie and you don't know anything, it's like, oh, these guys are just trying to get to Mexico. They kind of hijack a camper with this fractured family that has this cool backstory too, and the dialogue is just so fucking great. And everyone who listens to this podcast regularly knows my favorite thing in movies is just actors delivering great dialogue and chewing up scenery. And you just it's the best. Mm-hmm. It is just if that's your thing, this is one of the best movies ever. And you're going through it, and it's just this fantastic, dope, weird, trying to get to the border kind of movie. Mm-hmm. And then out of fucking nowhere, it's this batshit crazy vampire movie.
Right.
Just out of nowhere. And there's really, if you're thinking about it, there's really no hints to it either until you get to the bar.
Yeah.
And then you're really close to the turn anyway. So the whole first half of the movie is just this fucking weird, cool, trying to escape movie. Mm-hmm. So, taking it back to Overlord, the first chunk of this movie is just, it's a World War II thing, and you don't get a sense that anything else is going on until they get to the girl's house, where they're kind of trying to figure out what the Nazis are doing. They got this hiding spot.
Yeah, you're literally thrown into D-Day, if I recall right.
Yeah.
Where they're on the plane, they're heading towards behind the lines of Germany. You just find out that, like, because they're looking out the windows and like, that's a lot of fucking boats,
yeah,
out there. So that's when you're like, oh, this is D-Day. This is the pre-invasion, so that they can like take out the transmitter, and that's what they start.
And then they start talking about that the Nazis put up a satellite on a church. They're assholes. We gotta take that shit down. So this is your singular focus in the movie.
This is literally Operation Overlord.
And it's a fun World War II movie up until that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's the scene where the plane gets shot down while they're all trying to... It's so goddamn intense.
I was so disappointed that we couldn't see this in Cine One with the better audio system. Like, it was good in the small theater that we had had, but that scene right there...
Would have been amazing with the Cine One audio.
Exploding all around you.
That's gonna be another one. We talked about your surround sound being important. That's a surround sound movie.
Yes.
Just for that scene alone. So yeah, you go through the first half of the movie, and it's just this one thing. But then they start setting little hints that something else is going on. Mm-hmm. So it varies a little bit from Dusk Till Dawn, because Dusk Till Dawn, there's no warning. This one, they're like, something else is going on, but the singular focus of everyone in the movie is still the mission.
Yeah.
So the one guy gets into the church, and there's all kinds of craziness going on in the church. There's severed heads talking. Oh, geez. There's fucking people just hooked up to weird tubes and getting shit injected to them. You see somebody, a dead guy, get injected with something, and all of a sudden the dead guy starts moving. They're like, nope, not good enough, and puts them in some weird tube. Like, just all this batshit crazy stuff. And you're like, okay, it's obviously like a zombie. Like, they're bringing people back from the dead. Like, are they trying to bring people back from the dead? You don't really know for sure, but you get that vibe. You're there now. You're like, all right, now there's something really weird going on. Mm-hmm. So as the movie progresses, it becomes more and more clear what the actual issue is outside of the mission. And then it, like I said, it goes from a cool World War II movie to, at the very end, it's basically two guys fighting a monster.
Yeah.
And then one of them, like, then it kind of turns into two monsters fighting each other, and it's so fucking amazing. It is so well done. The build up to everything, the action, the violence, but most importantly, every single person knocked it out of the park in this movie.
Yeah.
There's not a bad performance in this movie. And you could look at this movie and say, oh, it's not going to win any Oscars. These people... I get that. That's not what this movie was supposed to do. This was supposed to be an entertaining movie, but also they just fucking nailed it, dude. Like, everyone performed the shit out of it. And it was so much fun to go from one genre, jump to another one, and still have the underlining tones, and then just kind of, by the end, they just kind of go back to normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and then it's on with it. It'll just, I can't say enough good things about it. I texted you guys like a couple days ago, and or you yesterday. Said
that you couldn't stop thinking about it.
I couldn't stop thinking about how good it was, because it was such a pleasant surprise. Because I was hopeful it was going to be good, but sometimes you go into these movies where it's classified as a scary movie. You don't really know if it's what it is. And then sometimes you go and you're like, ah, that was all right. That was cool. I'm not mad that I watched it. But very rarely do you go in a movie where you don't know much about and you just get blown away. And it was amazing. I highly recommend anybody who just likes cool genre flicks, they love good dialogue or good action, or even at times gory, but not like Saw gory.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all necessary to it's just so good.
So, like, it's war movie gore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit more than that.
Well, when it's you still, towards the end, you get some weird
gore,
shit.
But it's not that, like, horror for the gore for the sake of horror. I think it would be say the type of gore that I don't like is the type of gore that's like, you know, we're just trying to shock people with how far that we can go.
Yeah,
for one reason, Saw, you know, or even
like the later
Centipede, that stuff that I don't want to watch because that's gore for the sake of gore and trying to just freak you out.
I think it's a crutch.
Yeah, it's very much a crutch. Now there is scenes in this movie where you're like, oh my god, like the severed head, but it's not like a severed head with dripping blood, you know, all over the place. And she's sitting there talking in French. That was gory, but it's not that gory. But so.
It's not fountains of blood and guts. Not
floods of guts and stuff like that. So it does walk that line of being a horror movie, having some gore in it, and being like this cool, awesome military action movie that was really good, like Mike said. There's nothing bad about it, really. Do you have three favorite scenes and I guess one thing that surprised you?
Let Cody go first.
No, you go first. He asked you.
I waxed poetic about it already.
He asked you. Who'd you ask? First.
The pure fact that he said he waxed poetic about it already.
Then Joe's going to go.
You're first. You're first.
Nope. Fine, I'll go. So my three favorite scenes was the as Mike put it, monster versus monster scene. So Ford being turned and the captain being turned.
So to be clear, the captain you're talking about is the captain of the Nazis captain. Right.
Yep.
There.
Yep.
And Ford is kind of the impromptu leader. Like, he's the ranked leader.
Corporal, yeah.
Of the... Well, that's what I mean, ranked leader, because everybody else was private. Of the GIs that dropped in behind the lines, because their original leader got shot to death.
By a bunch of Nazis.
By a bunch of Nazis, but went out in a fucking badass way.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. He was a pimp.
The captain of the Nazis, the I'm not even going to pronounce that, the SS.
Did they even say his name in the movie? I don't remember.
Yeah, Waffner.
Anyway.
But I'm looking at this, but it's like, is an SS Hoppenstrumpfuhrer? I don't have to speak German, but so I liked that fight a lot, because I liked the fact, like, you saw it coming.
They built it up, yes.
Yeah, but it was just cool because, like, the way it was done is, like, it was just really fun because, like, he's, like, they're going off. But, like, I like the fact that, like, he hangs him up on a hook. And it's just, he just goes from being this, like, sadistic dude to being, like, super fucking, like, I'm gonna hang you while you're alive on this hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it was nuts. I liked the war elements of it. I really thought the opening scene of them on the plane and the plane getting shot up and then exploded and then crashing. Well, essentially crashing later on. Obviously, you don't see their plane split particularly in half crash.
If I recall right, no.
The front half.
Yeah,
it gets blown up, and so the cockpit is essentially gone. And the plane's essentially flying on wings, and then people are getting sucked, like, pulled down into the fire. And he's trying to, like, the main character, I guess you could say, Boyce, is trying to, like, not be drug in there. He's getting picked up by, and they're jumping out the whole part of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. Just, like, the instantaneous going from, oh, we know there's turmoil going on. We're in a plane. We know we're jumping behind enemy lines. We can see there's a full-on war going on because you can see all the ships and all the planes. And all of a sudden, they even say, like, hey, we're going past where the boats are going. And so they turn inland and they start to fly, and then that's when, like, the weather changes, and you think they're flying into a storm,
right?
And it is a storm, but it's also
storm bullets.
Yep, it's literally explosions, and you realize it's not just storm clouds they're in; they're actually in smoke from burning everything. And then planes are getting shot out of the air; they're getting riddled with bullets, and their plane gets fucking lit up. And you see the, like, one guy that's next to him just get ripped to shreds. And then, like, guys' legs are coming off, and I was like, oh, shit. This is some Band of Brothers shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it very much was.
And, like, this is, like, it feels like a real war movie.
Yeah.
You know?
That was cool about it.
And, like, they, like I said, their plane gets hit. It's obviously going down, so they're trying to jump out the non-fiery wreckage portion of it. And then you just see people in the distance getting fucking shredded. And you see one guy get hit by a fucking aerial, an actual, like, munition, and he just explodes, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is how we're doing this. So I just loved that part. It was just even like Mike was saying, like, that even when they get on the ground, it's not just, oh, thrown into a horror movie. It's still this, like, horrific, like,
we're war still trying movie. To make it to our objective.
Yeah, like, this, we're still full-fledged a war movie right now. We're not into anything supernatural or anything like that. It's just, it's a war movie, and then, like, it doesn't really even change over, like Mike said, until he's in the church, and you're still not even sure, because they allude to certain things, like the aunt was tested on, but she just looks like she was, you know, she's...
You hear her coughing and wheezing, but you don't really get a good look at her. Actually, you don't really get a good look at her for most of the movie.
Well, it's just one scene with him at the door.
Right, and that's...
And that's even just a little bit later, too. Just
a little bit. That's not a full body. That's not, like, oh, shit,
type
thing.
So then, like, you're like, oh, like, they're doing experiments on him. But if you know any about history of World War II, that was a thing that happened. The Nazis would do experiments on prisoners in towns and stuff. And so you're like, oh, this is one of those fucked up things. And if you didn't know going into it that it is basically zombies in a way, or super soldiers, you're just saying, oh, they're doing fucked up shit on them, testing chemical weapons, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so even when he goes up there and he sees the bodies being dumped in and then burnt and screaming, you're like, okay, yeah, that's how they're disposing the bodies, right? So, and it's not until he's way deep inside the compound when he sees them bring a guy back to life.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, this is not a war movie.
Yeah,
you know. So I thought that was really cool. Like, just like the fact it was that transition, I thought was really done really well. The third thing I really liked was the characters themselves. I like the fact they give you a really a good amount of like character depth in a very short amount of time.
Yeah,
you learn about Boyce being a coward. You learn why later on, why he's the evidence that he's a coward. You have Chase, who just wants to take photos. You have the one guy who gets blown up by a mine in the most horrific way possible, who's like writing a book. He's like, I'm going to write a book about this. And like,
right when you start caring about him, too, you're like, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah.
And boom, he did.
Yeah. I was just, you know. So I really like those. And like, even Chloe, you get a little more about her and like, you know, her horrific situation she's in.
Yeah.
And then the thing I was surprised by was actually the action itself. I was very surprised how super solid it was on every aspect, even like the supernatural half of it that was really solid, like the monster fight, and then like obviously the captain, the Nazi captain fighting Boyce, who has not been injected by anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just him fighting him as a super Nazi, as a normal person, thrown through the window, and like that whole thing was just super good. And like the action part of the war movie part of it really surprised me how well it did. Like, if I showed someone everything up until Boyce goes into the compound, you would think that it's just a war movie.
Yes.
And then I would show you the end where it is like them in the camp, back in the town, and they're being, you know, the army's finally there and all that stuff. You would think, oh, this is how the war movie ends, because it's not, the war doesn't end. They're just going to go further into the war. This little capsulized story is done. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't have that middle, that like last part of it, you would never know anything was up. You know, you would never know it meant super soldier nonsense, and things like that. Because if you cut off before that, before he gets in the compound, you never see that stuff. Chase never gets injected, so you never see him come back. Like, you never get into that stuff, and you could totally fool someone into thinking it's just a war movie. So, but the action is just fucking phenomenal, and everybody in it is just like, I didn't hate anybody in it. After, like, at first I was like, I'm gonna hate some of these characters, like the one that was always picking on Boyce. I'm like, all right, he's just kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to run and die, then he becomes a cool character.
I think in a lot of those aspects, you are kind of not trained, but like you're geared towards that type of thinking of like, oh, that little kid is going to give away this whole entire thing. Like, or the woman is going to be, you know, just a drag on
the damsel in distress.
Damsel in distress. And I can certainly say that's absolutely not the case.
Not at all.
At all in this movie. And I love that you were getting more and more movies like that, where we're not getting those characters that are just a fucking drag, a problem to be dealt with in the movie.
Yeah.
In fact, the kid, to his credit, is like fucking badass, because you have the scene with the baseball, and I can't remember who knocks the baseball over. While the German
he's up on the boxes, and it is
his fault that it knocks over, but he's willing to stand at the top of the stairs to stare down these Germans to make sure that they don't come all the way up to see the Americans that are literally standing feet away from them, ready
guns to, and drawn, ready to blast their fucking face off.
So the fact that that his character was able to stand up to them and not just be a fucking coward the whole entire time. Yes, he does get captured, but
that was really through fault of his own.
Yeah, still no fault of his own.
That was he was trying to get away at one point. So,
but I mean, even in that scene itself, Chloe was immediately just ready to be like, they took him. Okay, I'm gearing up. This is my machine gun. Let's go.
Yeah,
my machine gun, my grenades.
Yeah, let's go.
And
the Americans were the ones that were like, whoa, 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 whoa. We'll do this, but
let's think about what
we're going to do for a second.
And I like the fact that it wasn't one of those things where the soldiers were just cannon fodder. Like, for the most part, other than one of them, the ones we got, like, so Chase obviously goes out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he, like, there's, I mean, from a fault of his own, actually, but it's just one of those things where, like,
he's also not a soldier.
Well, he's not. Yeah. I mean, he's a very early recruit soldier, like the rest of them, you know. And he obviously he's not made for war. It's the same like Boyce isn't really made for war, but like he gets hardened real fucking quick.
But for like, him, he was our introduction into what is actually going on in the
church. Oh, of course, yeah. He was. I mean,
he's our transition.
But what I'm saying is like his mistake, the way he dies, isn't really on him. It's the fact he's not prepared to go into war, so when the Nazi knocks him over, steals his gun, blindly shoots him.
Yeah.
You know, that just happens. It sucks for you. You got shot. But it's like, he was fighting for him, and he was going against a captain of a Nazi group. I mean, he's definitely not ready for that by any means, being fresh out of boot camp, you know what I mean?
Especially being just pretty much the photographer.
Yeah, I mean, he's a soldier who likes to take photography, but he's barely a soldier, because like back then your boot camp was, instead of being months at a time, it was weeks at a time.
Well, it wasn't even that he just likes to be a photographer. There's a scene early on when they're on the ground where he states that they told him to take these photos.
Yeah,
like he is literally the war photographer. Yeah, not necessarily somebody who's going to be sitting there toting a gun. Yes, he has one. But he was more or less just take pictures so that we can send back to get more, you know, support for the war.
Yeah, they were using him. They're like, hey, you like photography. How about you take some pictures?
But in this situation here where it's like, well, he can't just be sitting there taking pictures. He literally has to be a soldier.
Yeah.
He's not good at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like Boyce wasn't good at it. He ends up being good at it. But he wasn't like the other two the other one and then the second one, because we get our fifth member back. When Boyce comes back, because he brings him, but I just like the fact that like they didn't give you a big cast to just dwindle down through dumb mistakes or through sheer just war. We have this these five, almost six, you know, soldiers, and then you have Chloe, who's thrust into the actual action because of her brother, that sort of stuff. What I liked about it is the fact that they didn't just give you these cannon fodder characters, you know?
Yeah.
And the one they did just was a fucking just taken out by the mine.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're like, oh, shit. Like, anything literally can happen now to these fucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the fact that they stretched them all through to the end and only sacrificed one or two of them with Ford, who was, I mean, some people are like, oh, he couldn't. No, he was dead. He knew he could not leave that compound after what he did to save everybody.
Yes.
Because he injected himself, but he knew, I can't let this go out and be, and he even says it to Boyce, like, even our government can't have this. You know what I mean? Both
sides shouldn't have this.
Yeah, so like, he sacrifices himself, but he was dead anyways, because like, he was going to get experimented on, you know? What
this has caused people.
Yeah.
And you know that's not refined at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not where it needs to be, and also so like, that was really cool. And I like when they do that, because it's not just one of those, oh, we're doing this down to one person, so the rest of you fucks, roll the dice, you're gonna die in some horrific way.
Yeah.
It was, they went in, it was like that thing with the old style like action movies from the 80s where they went in and it was like, oh, this is your team of badasses, and it's not like Predator where they did dwindle down to one.
Right.
These are your badasses that go in, and against all odds, they win.
And they barely win.
But it's like they win, and you know, like, oh, they're better for it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get a sequel, it's just like, oh, these are the badasses, and then they would give them new people, and then those new people either harden up or just die of horrific deaths. But
yeah.
It was just, I just love that fact. I was like, this is a guy who, like, the guy who wrote this, He wants that's the movies he grew up on. You can tell, like, you know, this dude loves 80s action movies and those war movies, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's Billy Ray, Mark Smith.
Yeah.
And Billy Ray again.
Billy Ray wrote the story, and then he wrote the screenplay with Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really, I just thought that was really
fun. I didn't know. I'm sure you were looking it up. This is the first time I ever looked any of it up, but I didn't realize Ford was Wyatt Russell.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's kid?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this.
He's aged a lot differently than he looks a lot different than he used to.
Well, yeah, I had no idea, but it was just funny because, like, after realizing that, I was like, Yeah, he does kind of have some old school Kurt Russell action movie swag to him. You know what I mean? Like some of his mannerisms and stuff like that.
He's very Snake Plissken.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty dope. It makes sense that he did so good in this role, because that's kind of like, if this movie was made back then, this would have been a Kurt Russell role. You know what I mean? Like that's
the best part is his first movie was
what?
Escape from L.A.
Oh yeah, well, one of the
he played an orphan like boy.
Well, you played young Kurt Russell in Soldier also, right?
Yep.
That's funny, man. That's so cool, though.
Those are your three. What's your surprise?
The surprise was the
Kurt Russell's kid.
No, the action was mine.
That's my big surprise.
So mine was the overall, the surprise was the overall action and how well it was done.
Okay.
Because it could have been, the action could have been shit.
Yes, the action could have been shit. The visuals could have been shit. Yeah. Everything just could have been.
But I was really surprised just how good the whole thing was, and the fact that it was just, you know, the action was that good.
Yeah. Michael?
Joseph?
Your three things that you liked and your one surprise?
My one surprise is Kurt Russell's kid. Because that blows my mind. That's so fantastic that he's good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I realize I've seen him in other stuff, but not realizing it was him.
I don't even realize that.
I realize that now after loading it up. But it was cool. So that's kind of a shock. But it's cool that, you know, Kurt Russell is one of my favorite old school actors.
Right.
That this dude fucking did such a good job. It's just neat. My three favorite things. One is the genre swap in the middle of the film is it's so hard to do that properly.
Yeah.
So when it's done and it's done right, it's like that's a feat in itself. Like you just don't see that in movies very often, and it has to be it's almost a rule. It has to be a smaller budgeted, less risk movie for it to do that.
And you say that, and it was something I was wondering while Cody was talking. $38 million is the estimated budget for this movie.
Which is like peanuts for a movie today.
Today, especially with these visuals and you know.
The fact that it had a major theatrical release is kind of surprising too. But it makes sense. But it obviously showed that people had faith in this movie because... Yeah. One, the advertisement wasn't great for this because, like I said, I saw one trailer.
I think they only ran that one trailer everywhere, commercials or just before movies.
And I'm all over social media for the most part. I didn't see anything about it there. So obviously the budget for, you know, exposure to it wasn't great. Hopefully, I don't know, did you see what the numbers it made?
So it says opening weekend is $10,202,000. Gross U.S. is $11,481,481.
Yeah, so like I said, smaller budget one. This is going to be the one that makes its money back off of downloads and whoever gets the streaming rights.
Most definitely.
But it's a pretty low risk. 38 mil is a low risk situation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my number one favorite thing is the swap in the middle or towards the end of the movie. What's up?
There's fucking weird audio going on. I don't know if it's the headset.
Is it me moving? Like I've been.
Well, you need to be closer to your fucking microphone.
Okay.
Just in general, but no, it's saying, like the audio. Could have
mentioned that.
It's the popping. I can't tell if it's the headset or if it's the board.
Is it maybe the fan?
No, it's like a digital popping.
Oh, it's a digital pop.
Yeah, it's like distortion.
Man, good thing you guys got loads and loads of headphones.
It went away. It went away completely, and then it came back.
Hmm.
It's really bizarre.
With a twist.
Yeah.
Is it while somebody was talking specifically?
It went, and then it, like, there goes again. It's going again. So it's not the headset.
I don't hear it.
No.
Well, of course you don't hear it. Dickhead. That means it's got to be the board.
Let me see.
Goddamn board ass shit. We're working through some technical difficulties.
Right.
On air.
Is it right? Okay, it just has a weird angle to it.
You're a weird angle. You're a fucking weird angle.
Is it doing it right now?
You dumb Joe-ass bitch.
You'll hear it because it'll cut out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look,
real bad.
That's
bad. I can't tell if it's on here or not, or if it's just coming through if it's just coming through this.
It's very much so like a static, but cutting out type of static.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if so if this sounds like shit when it goes up, we apologize.
We'll listen to it before we're doing it, but nothing's going to change. No.
We'll fix it in post.
Because I can't tell. This isn't doing anything crazy, and this doesn't look like it's doing anything crazy. But I mean, it's just so fucking weird. You saw it. You heard it.
I heard it, yes.
Like,
yes,
super
I did
poppy
it.
And...
Yeah. But it was like your voice is going out. Your voice is literally the static, is the way it kind of sounded.
Yeah. It's fucked
anyway,
up.
Like it. So that was your number one?
Numero uno.
Numero uno.
Numero two-o.
Numero
two-o. Is just the performances. Like I said, if you listen to this podcast for a while, my favorite thing is dialogue delivery in a movie for the most part.
Yes.
And the intense, you know, between the separate different soldiers and between the good guys and the bad guys, just the dialogue back and forth. And it's not a ton of it.
It's not a ton of dialogue.
But it's well delivered. It's well written. And it gets to the point, and it's just really well done. And like I said, that kind of goes to performances as well. Like it's such a nice treat when there's not a weak link in the chain as far as it comes to, you know, getting your lines out and doing a good job and being believable. Like, and you don't really hate any of the characters that you're supposed to like. Like, again, early on, you're thinking, I might hate this guy, I might hate this guy. But by
really
the end, you're like...
It out, like, you know, he's making fun of him, he's not going to be a great guy, blah, blah, blah.
But you kind of realize, like, everyone in that situation is just scared and they're dealing with shit differently.
Yeah.
But it kind of turns at the end. They're all pulling for the same thing. And even the dickhead guy kind of sides with Royce at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like... Yeah, because that's the right fucking thing to do. You gotta stop these fucking monsters before you worry about taking out the satellite.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then my third favorite thing is also kind of a surprise to me is how well the action scenes were. Again, to what Cody said, from the plane scene to that scene where Royce is falling through the air and is... parachute's not deployed and he's fucking barely missing planes and bullets and explosions.
Mm-hmm.
And like one point an explosion literally blows him way over to the side because it happened right next to him. Just everything from that all the way to the very end, which is one of the funnest climaxes to a movie I can remember in a long time, is when homeboy is fighting super zombie Shredder at the end. And so he finds the needle too, and he has to pull himself off the hook.
Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah, and he's no special sauce injected yet, right?
No.
So it's just all him, all grit and fucking guts, pulling himself off that hook, falling to the ground, getting to that whatever that super soldier serum is, injecting it into himself. And what I really liked, and this was a cool little detail, which I don't know if he counts as a detail, if anybody noticed this or not, but super Nazi guy took multiple injections.
Yes.
Right? Homeboy, the American guy, only got one.
Yeah.
That's why he was still getting his ass kicked, but he was able to hang into the fight just long enough to you know, finish the job for good.
Yeah.
That was so well done. That scene where he comes around the corner and the Nazi throws him up against the wall, and then he throws him up against the wall, and the tiles are breaking and the walls are shaking. It's like, ooh, if anything, I could have done with like another 3 minutes of that fight.
Yeah.
Of them just punching each other in the face. Because it was
just going back and forth. With
yeah.
Like,
breaking
I punch
shit.
You punch me.
Yeah. It was so good. It was so good. And it was the right thing to do. You only had, like I said, the American only had one injection, so he was gonna be weaker. But it was the Royce coming in and helping and doing just enough to distract him, just enough to get everything in place for the American to blow it all and take out all of them at once. And I'm going to throw this in as also a little side thing. It's the first full-fledged zombie that we get, the bald one that chases the girl.
I call him the slimy monster.
Fucking terrifying, dude.
With the fucked up bones.
Fucked up bones.
Fucked up bones. It's literally missing his left hand.
And then the shaky, fucking weird,
and
jittery
butthole mouth.
Yeah, and the weird running that he's doing, and he's just all out. And it's not like World War Z, fucking all the zombies are just in a mass herd running.
Yeah.
It's like this guy is You set it up. It's like they have too much adrenaline.
Yeah.
And they can't control it. And like that's why he's so fucking jittery. And he just wants to fucking find this thing and kill it or eat it. Whatever the fuck it's going to do. It's just trying to destroy shit. And he is just running. He doesn't know what direction. He's running into shit as he's trying to chase the girl. And he is fucking frightening, dude. It's such a well done zombie. And it's a cool little, because usually zombies that are like all amped up and running are kind of lame, because you don't want your zombies to be like that. But it's, and he classifies as a zombie, but it's not, you know, it's not zombie in the classical sense of like Walking Dead or Romero, you know what I mean? It's a different kind of thing.
Intelligence behind these ones.
Yes, and
it is literally a reanimated person, not a reanimated corpse. Yeah,
which is, it just seems like it's this crazy concentrated shot of adrenaline almost is what's keeping these guys going.
Mm-hmm. That's what you saw with Chase earlier on.
Exactly. And so it, setting him up, and we see how crazy he is to the very end where you start seeing like five or six of them start.
He just opens the doors.
Because all the doors are opening up and they're all coming out and they're all starting to get jittery. And you're like, if you don't blow that fucking place up right now, all these crazy fuckers are all getting out and going to fucking wreak havoc.
Yeah.
So that was, I cheated. That was like four or another surprise.
I don't give a fuck.
But this movie's that good where you get more than the standard, because it was, again, everything about it was fantastic. It's Joseph.
I could literally sit there and say I liked the beginning as one, the middle as two, and the end as three.
You could say that,
but
Mike might call it a cop out.
Mike might call it a cop out. Surprised how good the movie is. Done.
High five. Cop out. Like it. That's the way Joe rolls. Isn't that a cop out? That's a Joe out.
Well, we talk about it a lot. So
yeah, no, I do like Cody says. I like the World War II aspect of it, the war movie aspect of it, that you could literally just take out that one third, maybe a little bit less of the movie, and you have what would seem like a really good Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers type movie, that those action sequences are really good. And the audio and the visuals are fantastic, especially towards the beginning of the movie, where you are slowly transitioning from a bright and sunny day, and you're looking out, and they're seeing all the boats heading towards Normandy, and then you transition into this fucking hellscape as just planes are being shot down left and right. So that's my beginning right there, my number one, where I really love that. The middle part where you're on the ground, they know where they have to go, but you're starting to see those aspects of something else that's going on, especially with the aunt. Yeah. That, it was an aunt, where she's like coughing and
making those terrible
noises, and just everything seems to quiet down at that point. You don't have any background music. You don't have anything else going on at the time. It is slowly turning into that horror type of movie, just because it's building suspense upon what the fuck is going on. Especially, also, you don't really see any other people in this village. You do, I mean, you do see one person after you're introduced to Chloe, and you obviously do have the Germans that are occupying the place, but even they don't have a huge presence on the outside of that church. So there is definitely something going on there besides the radio tower that they have there.
It's the element of solitude that makes it that scary.
Yes. You'll hear the things going off in the back, like the weird shit that you hear in the background, especially like when they hit the ground and they're trying to find each other. You eventually end up with like, you know, what the fuck is that? What the hell is that puddle of something on the ground?
It looks like it could have been a dog.
Could have been a dog. Could have been something else. Like they're building up those that horror aspect of it. But you still have like this overall. Ford's character is like, we need to get to that fucking radio tower. We need to get that fucking radio tower down in the next 6 hours. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, and that's another aspect. They're on a very tight window for the actual mission part of it, which is still enormously important to the overall outlook of things.
Yeah. But then you get the transition where Boyce accidentally, and I say accidentally, you know, he gets chased by a dog. So let's jump into the nearest German truck. I think there were a few aspects of it that I did have a little bit of a problem with, just for convenience of the plot. You had that. He jumps into the back of the German truck that just so happened to be going into the base. And he's able to sneak around the base and find one of the previous guys that they were in the plane with and sneak them out. So I feel a little bit of not really a cop out maybe, but just a standard, I don't know. I can't think of what I'm trying to say there. But it, a
easy
little
up. Bit of a letdown. It was convenient.
Convenient, yeah. Right there. But it's still fantastic because you are transitioning more and more to that horror element. You're seeing the fucking disembodied person. No.
Lady.
She, you know, you just have the head and she's screaming help in French, which is, by the way, you get the subtitles of French. Help, help me, help me, help me. And he pulls back that
little curtain.
Curtain there, and there she is, just ahead, yelling for help, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And you get to see the reanimated guy, you know, just get stabbed and suddenly he's alive. You fast forward to the part with the German guy, which by the way was raping Chloe the whole entire time, which kudos to her that she's able to do this. Her character, at least, is able to do this knowing that if she doesn't, she can get the Americans killed, essentially. And it was another little annoyance that I had with Boyce, who was like, no, we've got to stop this, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you're putting the whole entire fucking mission at risk.
Yep.
She's not willing to do that.
But you are.
You are, somehow, because you don't want to be... You want to be this, you know, I'm an American hero, but I don't know. It was an annoyance of mine. But it passes relatively quickly, I would say. But then you have, Chase's character who comes back to life in the most horrific way possible.
Dude, it's just,
and that whole shows you fucking what this shit is capable of.
Yeah, that one scene sets up for what we're running into.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you, oh, we already know that this orange goo in the syringe, which, by the way, the most horrific looking syringe in the world.
Yeah, very just, much so. I don't give a fuck how big this needle is. I'm just gonna jab it in.
I was like, man, I guess that thing's meant to go.
It's not
in
really
deep.
A needle at this point. It's just a very small pipe.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is a pipe we put a serrated end on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and not even really that serrated. It's literally just cut at a sharp enough angle to pierce skin. But so is a pipe if you do it properly. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I mean.
But yeah, so like you get, that's the cool thing about that too, is the first part of the movie in the plane, it sets up the war element.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're running into. When, you know, Nazis, not that most moviegoers need to know how terrible Nazis are.
Some might.
Well, yeah.
Well, some today.
Might. They don't listen to that. They don't listen to this show. That scene with Chase is literally a transition, but also, hey, these are the rules we're playing with now.
Yes.
Like, hey, this is what is going on. Like, here, this guy get, you know, clearly he looks dead because he's got a bullet hole in his head,
mm-hmm.
and he's not moving, and he looks dead. They inject him. He comes back to life. He's freaking out. They're like, okay, put him in the thing and see what happens. Put him in the fucking oven and see what bakes, you know what I mean? And you're like, okay. And you see him take the syringe, and I was like, well, that can't be helpful whatsoever, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then you get the rules laid out for you when Chase gets shot. He uses the stabby pipe thing with the goo in it, brings him back, and then you see what the experiment does, and you're like, oh, these are the rules we're playing with now. Not good. And because of those rules and setting up, when the Luftwaffe fucking shredded dude goes back and he's missing half his face, and he injects himself with a bunch of syringes, you're like, oh, now we get to see what happens if they weren't dead before.
Yes.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, and then so that's like, it's cool the way they do it because...
And the doctor even says, well,
we've never tested it on live.
We've never tested it on the living,
And you're like, he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm almost not going to be living. He is... He takes that shot to the face, and I was like,
"You got all Jonah Hex after that dude. Shit." He was using
Jonah Hex shit. Goes yikes, you know what I mean? Like, right? At least my cheek connects. Yours is bleh.
All separated. Yeah. And what was nice too is they set up the healing factor with Chase. You could see the bullet wound closing.
It's not so much closing, but just like the fact that it's not like healing, but it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm just gonna go bloop, and the hole's not a hole. It's just a gross wound at that point.
But you see, that's one. On the surface, it's a small area, right? So you kind of know, okay, this is kind of fixing that.
Yeah, the blood's not pouring out.
Yeah, anymore. With the bigger wound where the guy got half his fucking face blown off by a machine gun, every scene you see him in after he injects that stuff, it gets a little bit better.
Yeah, it's just it's less of a wound, a little bit better. It's less of a gaping wound, more of just a regular.
And it stays gross the whole time. But when you have the one long shot on it, you actually see it, you know, the muscle structures and stuff reconnecting. It was such a nice touch that the damage was so bad that it's going to take a while before it heals. It's not one little scratch. You know what I mean? It's slowly.
And it leads you to believe to be a normal looking. It's maybe heal the wound to be
a functional, you know. Roughly where it was. I thought that was a nice touch.
It'll probably accelerate the healing, so it's just going to end up being a giant scar.
Giant,
so it's not going to regrow his face, but you know it's doing something where it's no longer spewing blood out.
Yeah, and it wasn't because a cop out would have been a little bit later in the movie. He has a back face to again. Normal. Yeah. You know, that would have been shitty, and then visually not as cool either. So seeing him with literally half his face missing at one point to half his face being just a bloody, muscly, but still there, just all fucked up, I thought was a cool touch to it.
Yeah, it wasn't just a cure-all. It wasn't like he get it and he's like, ooh, I'm better now. Yeah, so three syringes and you're good to go.
And these Nazi scientists are working on it. It's not a completed thing. So you could see where, fuck, if they would have kept, you know, going with this, had these people not been able to stop them, they theoretically could have perfected it and literally made 1,000-year shoulders and fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Which, if we get a sequel, doesn't mean that's the only place that was working on stuff.
Very true.
We just know that was where the source material came from. Yeah. It was in this underground river that happened to be tapped into by the church well.
Yeah.
And they're like, the French have been sitting on this forever, stupid idiots.
It doesn't exclude the possibility of them working on it someplace else. And, you know, every time that place makes an advancement, they send them that and they try to level it down a little bit more. So I don't think we're getting a sequel. I don't think we need a sequel.
No.
But if they wanted to expand this world, it's not, you know, it's not a totally bad idea. It could
be a different experiment completely. Another place, you know.
Or it could, you know what I mean? Like, there's fucking crazy shit going on in Nazi Germany. There could be all kinds of stuff happening. That group of people could be running into something else because they're still in the war. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It'd be cool.
Can you imagine if they just, they had such bad luck. They got thrown back into sea. They got folded into a sea company, I think they said it was.
Yeah.
And the next, big thing they go into, they stumble upon, another horrific fucking another Nazi one, experiment. Yeah. You're like, at one point, you'd be like, okay, guys, I think we need to ask them to let us bow out.
Yeah.
Right.
A boy's got a hole in his stomach. He's got a hole in his shoulder. I'm terrified of what I'm going to see next. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I need to go home.
But, you know, another cool touch of the movie was everyone was just like, the one guy even says, man, I thought they let us go home after all that shit. But Royce was just like, man, we just killed a bunch of fucking monsters. Nazis aren't going to be like, he's so much more calm. And he's like, we have a mission. We got to fucking kill Hitler. And he's
that was a cool little not ready back to the beginning.
Yeah. We're ready to fucking go. Like, we've seen literally the worst.
I don't think it could be any worse.
Yeah. We're still in danger, but he's obviously in much better spirits and he knows he could do the job now and he's ready to fucking. You gotta imagine, he's pretty pissed at these Nazis for doing that kind of shit, so he's probably amping up to fucking make sure that shit's not happening anywhere else. So, yeah, it was a cool turn of, attitude and gave him some swagger at the end, because he's already been through the worst of it. It was kind of...
You would hope be the worst of it.
Yeah, we hope. Unless it's a sequel.
But that would transition into my third thing, exactly like what you guys have said earlier. The boss fight at the end, essentially, where you initially have Ford going up against the German German Chancellor guy, whatever the fucking
captain
guy, you know, and it's a swap of what you had in the second act, where you had Ford sitting there beating the hell out of him trying to get information. Now you have Ford getting his ass kicked.
Yep, that was the whole thing.
From
from
his fucking rib cage.
That fucking sound when he lands back on it the second time.
Where
I was
he
like,
tries to,
oh,
he picks himself
up.
And you're like,
nope, give up. You should, one attempt, you didn't make it. Guess what? Quit, sir.
But he eventually gets up and he gets himself injected with it. And for me, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this could be like how Captain America starts. This is where the super soldier serum comes from. This is fucked up.
Yeah.
This is a Marvel movie now. Great, JJ.
Someone give this man a shield.
But he ends up fighting with the German guy, and he himself, which I absolutely love, that he realizes that these guys can't get out of here. He can't get out of here.
Yep. He even says, like, our side doesn't.
Yeah, like we've
shouldn't
said
have
before,
this either, or something like that.
Yeah, neither side should have this. We have to blow this thing in order to just cover everything up. And that was another really cool thing when Boyce is talking to the general or American general, whoever it is that was outside. You know, the guy's like, was there anything in there that we should try and dig out? And he's just like, nope.
Just radio room.
That was it. That was all that was underneath there.
Yeah, you kind of get this idea. It's like, they know
something was
like,
there.
They know, like, maybe they were sent in not just because of the radio. Like, yeah. The radio tower is a cover.
Yeah.
Like, do they know? Like, he's asking that question, but you're like, you're on the aspect of, like, he didn't say any keywords to give it away. He's like, yeah. Well, is there anything else you saw down there?
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, do you know? Do you know, you fuck? Did you send them in there to get fucking murdered? Did you know? Ooh, you knew something. You know, and it's like that, is this just the tip of the iceberg and this is the one they could get to easily? And so, like, let's test the waters. I'm like, oh, you bastards.
Yeah.
You sons of bitches. Anyways, what were you surprised by?
What was I surprised by? I think, like, Mike, I went into it. I've seen the same trailer over and over again. But that's it. So I was surprised about how much I actually did like this movie, how well it was done. The actors are, for the most part, nobody you've really ever heard of before. I didn't even know Wyatt Russell was Kurt Russell's kid. I couldn't even tell you that was Wyatt Russell. I didn't even know he existed before this movie.
Me either.
But there
fucking
he is.
Fucking dope, though.
And every single one of them, even down to the little kid that all he did was speak French, was just really good.
The kid
good
was
actors.
Pretty adorable, though.
The kid was pretty adorable. Yeah. He's sitting there. He's got that fucking... He's got the glove and the ball, and he's just trying to play catch with the Americans because every American plays baseball.
Yeah.
It was absolutely adorable, and it was absolutely awesome, and... yeah, that was my the thing I was surprised by, how well I actually like this movie.
This is the kind of movie where I feel like I wish we had a bigger audience so we could just tell people, guys, you need to fucking watch this one. You know what I mean?
Change the tide.
Because every so often a movie comes out that's not getting the recognition it deserves. Like, this movie obviously the people have liked it. It's been reviewed very favorably online. Have the people who have seen it have liked it. But I don't think it's found its audience yet. I feel like this is one of those movies that in a few years, people are going to look back and be like, yo, Overlord was really fucking good. You know what I mean? Like,
you'll find
whether,
it on streaming services.
Netflix, yeah, whether the director does something, you know, crazy big next. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, oh, he did this movie. If you like this movie, like, he's going to get like a Marvel movie or
he's getting Flash Gordon.
Oh, is he for real?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So people, if that turns out to be a huge hit, people are going to be like, well, what the fuck did this guy do before? And they're going to be like, what's Overlord? And they're going to find Overlord. So in like 10 years, this movie is going to be very, you know.
This, I think even before that happens, we're going to get, when it hits digital, it's going to be a monster.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be that injection it needs. It's going to, it's because it's going to happen. Because that happens all the time with like Get Out. Was what this should have been like, where not obviously Get Out has like a bunch of cultural stuff in it too, but it was like one of those movies that on paper it shouldn't have worked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In reality, it worked out fucking amazingly. And then when it, like, we all know, because there was a buzz about it, but, like, for the most part, like, I started hearing people talk about it more about Get Out when it hit digital release than I did when people...
It hit a whole nother audience.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's going to happen, but that same thing. People were like, people who, unlike Joe, don't go see movies a lot. Joe is, like, this person who doesn't really on the internet to watch trailers and look up stuff. He's very avoidant of that, but he will go see movies. There's whole people, a lot like him, that don't go see the movies. Very rarely. They'll go see a tentpole movie. They'll go see an Avengers. But they're the kind of person that sees only the big movies. They don't see Thor 2 and Thor 3. If you're
a once-a-month moviegoer, like a lot of people are, I would say probably the average moviegoer is a once-a-month. Like, this isn't the movie you're going to go see. By off of, you know, word of mouth and stuff like that, you're probably... there isn't none. Yeah, you're not going to get this movie. But come on iTunes, and then when it's, like, available to rent for $2.99, you know what I mean? It's going to be one of those ones where if it pops up on Netflix, hey, you like this movie, maybe you like this one, they're going to find it, and they're going to realize this movie's a fucking masterpiece. It's so well done, and everyone in it deserves to be a big star because they killed it.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think that's going to help a lot. And then obviously, if he can make Flash Gordon a monster of a movie, then
we'll go back and watch
they'll
it
definitely it'll breathe new life into it.
This would have been like, so this is an example of it not working out well, but very close to being the same thing. The dude who did the newest Fantastic Four, did Chronicle.
Chronicle, yeah.
Chronicle was fucking amazing. Yes. Chronicle is one of the best superhero movies you're ever going to see. Nobody really saw it. Like, enough people saw it, but nobody, like, really saw it. If Fantastic Four was a monster hit, people would be like, yeah, this is his second superhero movie. You guys should go see Chronicle. Yep. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so if he can make Flash Gordon, which is weird that it's Flash Gordon, that this is the next one.
Matthew Vaughn's producing it.
Ugh, I hope it's good. Because simply for the... like, I don't give a fuck about a Flash Gordon movie. Honestly, I mean, I'll go see it because I watch a lot of shit in theaters. But I hope it's awesome.
Don't say shit.
Simply for the fact that everyone can go back and realize Overlord needs more respect than it's getting.
Yep.
I agree.
Oh,
producer's giving us the wrap-up signal. Looks like we're producer done Joe. For the day here, fellers. Yeah, that's it. We won't talk about Detective Pikachu this week.
Maybe next week.
Tune in next week, kids. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Fucking A.